to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. How blessed are those who persevere under trial, because when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. James 1, verse 12. Oh, such a wonderful, hopeful future that we have in Jesus Christ. And so much is going on in the world right now and in the kingdom of God. You've heard of the death of Pope Francis, and I pray that his progressive policies will go nowhere, that they choose a pope who is more moderate in his beliefs. Because we know that the young people, it was just reported that the Catholic Church was just bursting at the seams this weekend. And I believe that the young people are so tired, and that's 20 to 30 year old, are so tired of this woke thing because it was empty and hopeless. And in Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have eternal life in him, and I am just praising God for more and more hunger for who he is, for who Jesus is. Who are the cardinals going to choose as the next pope? Will he fit in with the last day's agenda from the biblical perspective? Well, we will see, and I hope it is a more biblical approach to the Word of God. So I pray that... We will see. We have celebrated the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ around the world. For those of us who take the time every day to praise him for his divine sacrifice, this is a daily observance and praise to God for his most gracious gift. And the final enemy of the believer, of people who believe in Jesus Christ, is death, and it has been conquered. Death could not hold him, and there's no longer any fear in death. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones." And 2 Corinthians 5, 7 tells us that when we leave this mortal body, yep, when it falls down, and we are transported into heaven, we're going to be immediately present with God. And the sting of death is forever gone, praise the Lord. During this busy weekend, Ambassador Huckabee edified the Jewish people in Jerusalem by placing a prayer from President Trump in the Western Wall. And you remember when President Trump did that the very first time, he went to the Western Wall and placed a prayer there. Well, this prayer is that peace will rule in the upcoming conference in Cairo, Egypt, and we're praying that same thing. And then last night, I do not look into the secular channels, ABC, NBC, and CBS, but last night after I watched the Golden State Warriors beat Houston. And yeah, I am watching basketball whenever I have the opportunity to do so. And I'm grateful the Nuggets, one in a squeaker. But last night, Cece Winans was a special guest singer at American Idol. And yes, American Idol. And what an atmosphere of praise. Folks, there is a change. I hope you're involved in this wonderful flow of change, of looking to God instead of looking to the things of this world. It was designated as a night of faith, songs of faith and night. And Cece sang a song from her new album, Come Jesus Come. It was wonderful. The time is right now. We've been waiting so long. Right every wrong. And Carrie Underwood was weeping, one of the judges. Cece went on to say that the Spirit of God is moving and setting people free like never before. What a change in the venue and atmosphere at this worldly event. Or is it? Is God seeing that all of this change is coming about because our Lord Jesus is coming soon? Oh, he's pouring out his mercy and love like never before, folks. I hope you are experiencing that in your own life. Let's do the Monday Bible slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. And I pray that new life for every one of you listening. It is the Word of God. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And I was so entranced with Kimberly's verse of scripture last week that she gave from Psalm 85, verse 10. Loving kindness and truth, or faithfulness, as the Hebrew translation puts it, have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And I say in Jesus, because everything seems to be in Jesus. He gave it all. And it's in Him we have life. In Him we have wisdom from God and redemption, and we have righteousness and sanctification. Praise the Lord. You can tell this is the beginning of the week. Oh, loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs from the earth and righteousness looks down from heaven. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its produce. Righteousness will go before him and will make his footsteps into a way for his people. Praise the Lord. Have you ever, when you were little, did you try to walk in your dad's footsteps? I did. When he was a farmer and he was out there or doing something in the yard, I would just kind of want to step right into his footsteps because my shoes were a little bit smaller than his. It's wonderful to know that we are walking in his footsteps. In the New Living Translation, Psalm 85, let's read 9 through 13. Surely his salvation is near to those who love and honor him. So our land will be filled with his glory. See, the enemy will try everything to see that this country is not filled with God's glory. He's tried everything. Unfailing love and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs up from the earth and righteousness smiles down from heaven. Do you see it smiling down? Oh, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling low, just look up. Oh, it's smiling down at you, my friend. Our land will yield its bountiful harvest. I'm believing that with all my heart, that this land, this country, will yield its bountiful harvest of righteousness, of sanctification, of salvation. Praise the Lord. More people, I am praying, will receive Jesus Christ this year and the next year than ever before. Righteousness goes as a herald before him, preparing the way for his steps. We're going to go through that this week. Psalm 85. Verse 10, mercy and truth have met together. I'm trying to get this from the King James Version. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And the Message translation says they have married together. It's just beautiful. It's almost like the Song of Solomon verses. Well, yesterday, many of you attended church to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. His great sacrifice not only afforded us salvation and freedom that the world knows nothing about, as well as God's love, peace, and joy. So much of the year we take those amazing gifts of Holy Spirit for granted, and we fill our days with so much activity that we seem to lose the view of the good things of the Lord. Some people go away from yesterday after they've been to church and been to all kinds of different luncheons. They're exhausted. They're tired. They want to have 2 or 3 days of catch up. We must also remember that Jesus promised that we would have a comforter who would live inside of us and teach us about the kind of love that God loves. Holy Spirit was sent to unify the body of Christ in a way that has never been perfected. Holy Spirit is that lover who transforms each believer into a total and functioning union with Christ. Without Holy Spirit, we would never understand what this Christ life is all about. James 4:5 tells us, Does the scripture mean nothing to you that says the spirit that God breathed into our hearts is a jealous lover who intensely desires to have more and more of us? Did you know that scripture is there? In James 4, verse 5. Holy Spirit is so jealous for us that he desires more and more of us each day. And as we give ourselves to God, Holy Spirit is there teaching us and guiding us. He continues to pour out more and more grace upon us. For it says, God resists you when you are proud, but continually pours out grace when you're humble. So then surrender to God. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will flee in agony. Move your heart closer and closer to God. You may not feel like it right now, but practice it as an act of your will. Practicing. That's what I do when I memorize scripture. I take a scripture and I practice it until it is in my heart. So move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. But make sure you cleanse your life and keep your heart pure and stop doubting. Stop questioning him. Feel the pain of your sin. Be sorrowful and weep. And we're reading from James 4, verse 5. Let your joking around be turned into mourning and your joy into deep humiliation. And humiliation is humbling yourself before God. Because then verse 10 tells us, he will exalt you when you're willing to be made low before the Lord, just like our Lord Jesus did. He will exalt you. Praise the Lord. So we humble ourselves before you. Oh, Holy Spirit within us loves us with such a passion that he will not let us remain in our ignorance. Praise God. He will bring us all to that which is ours in Christ. That's Holy Spirit's mission, and that's his work that he does in us. He is the one that does the work in us. God ordains it, God directs it, and Holy Spirit does it. When you lay down your desires and open your heart to completely obey the revelation and teaching of Holy Spirit, it will be as if a prison door has opened and you have walked through to a new way of looking at this world as you live in it. You will not only begin to realize that you are accepting those people who once gave you a bad taste in your mouth. Yeah, I know. I've been there. And in Jesus, it's like you gargled with a mouthwash that has transformed your thoughts of that person into feelings of compassion toward them. I realize that today. I really do. Some of those people that I thought I could never forgive them, they've done such heinous things toward me. And all of a sudden, I am praying prayers for them, prayers of mercy and grace, and thoughts of, wow, I don't know what he's going through right now, so I'm going to pray for him. Or I don't know what she has been through, so I'm going to pray for her right now. See, we only look at it from our point of view, not from their point of view. So that's Holy Spirit. He's giving us a new insight into what we are looking at through our eyes and through our spirit at others. Oh, and now I pray that you are hungry for more of God and you're sensing his presence more often in your day. That's Holy Spirit moving the old out and bringing the new in. Oh, 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells us that in Jesus, the New Testament, you can't escape Jesus. It's in him. You have wisdom from God, redemption, righteousness, and sanctification. So if you're a little bit hesitant about talking about Jesus or even reading about him, boy, you better not be. It's going to be big and huge, and you're going to be hungering more and more. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 16 is in the Message, and I've always memorized it kind of from memorize those verses from the New American Standard or the King James Version that I grew up on. But let's go into the Message of 1 Corinthians 2. My brothers and sisters, when I first came to proclaim to you the secrets of God, I refused to come as an expert, trying to impress you with my eloquent speech and lofty wisdom. We know that Paul was a very humble man. Verse 2, for while I was with you, I was determined to be consumed with one topic, Jesus. And Jesus crucified, the crucified Messiah. Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 2, I stood before you feeling inadequate, filled with reverence for God and trembling under the sense of the importance of my words. See, Paul is trying to explain here of the importance of the message that God has given him to say to the church with feelings of total inadequacy, like I'm feeling right now in front of the mic. Total inadequacy. Oh, sometimes, friend, we just don't know what to say and how to say it, but allow Holy Spirit to begin to use you. Verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 2 says, "The message I preached and how I preached it was not an attempt to sway you with persuasive arguments and debate, but to prove to you the almighty power of God's Holy Spirit." See, it's Holy Spirit we're talking about today. "For God intended that your faith not be established on man's wisdom, but by trusting in his almighty power." And verse 6 goes on to say, "However, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature." And don't you love to be around friends who know the word? That's why I love meetings, because I sense that our friends around that circle that we are in my home, I love this. They are growing and they are maturing, and it's just beautiful to see. "It's wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned," yes, put down, "by Jesus Christ's blood. Verse 7, "Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before, now in a mystery. It is his secret plan destined before the ages to bring us into glory." And James talks of that wisdom that is from above. It's not demonic. It's not empty. It's not useless. It's not wasteful. It's just glorious in every way. Verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 2 says, "None of the rulers of this present world order understand it. For if they had, they never would have crucified the Lord of shining glory. This is why the scriptures say, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things God has in store for all his loved ones." God is now revealing these to every believer who will believe and receive. Now, God unveils these profound realities to us by how? The Spirit. God unveils all these realities to us by the Spirit. I hope you recognize Holy Spirit, because if you don't, you are not receiving all these profound realities by him. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart and deepest mysteries through Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his Spirit, the Spirit of God. For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. And we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit, and not with the words taught by human wisdom. See, when I received the baptism of Holy Spirit, I realized that what I was speaking was nothing taught by human flesh. I did not learn it in this world. This was a language that was coming from inside, from Holy Spirit. Someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. And you don't have Holy Spirit if you're not born again. Those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate, inquire into, investigate all things, and they are subject to the scrutiny of no one but God himself. Verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 2, "For who has ever intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh well enough to become his counselor?" Ah, Christ has. And guess what? We have the mind of Christ. So when the devil comes to you and says, "Man, your mind is all messed up. You are just low grade." You remember, you have the mind of Christ. Tell him, "I have the mind of Christ. I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I have the mind of Christ." Say that with me. I have the mind of Christ. Well, I was looking for a song today, And Because He Lives is such a beautiful traditional song. Oh, over 50 years old, and so many people have learned this song. And so I went on YouTube to see who was singing Because He Lived. And here was David Crowder. Now, I have not been a fan of David Crowder's. I have to be honest. He's from Texarkana. Yes, he is. And I realized then that when I looked at his history, that he has an English degree from Baylor University. Now, it's not going to sound like it. But what I love about this is that as he's singing these beautiful words by Bill and Gloria Gaither, the whole crowd, and these are thousands and thousands of young people and older people, they're all singing along with him. Here he is, Because He Lives.
God sent His Son. He called Him Jesus. He came to love. Healing for me. He lived and died to buy my pardon.
Thank you.
Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm emotional. This man, David Crowder, he knew what common people loved. And he came to this huge crowd, probably 50,000 strong in his stadium. And he sang a song that almost everybody knew. I love the new songs, anointed new songs like CeCe Winans was singing last night. Come, Jesus, come. But boy, there's something when the whole crowd comes together to voice with one voice, Jesus is Lord. And he was such a man for the common people. God bless you, David Crowder. Oh, I love that. I love it. And I love the fact that Jesus is for the common person. There is no racial division here. There's no diversity here. No diversity like we saw here in the United States. And equality. No, nothing like that. He took every person at face value as he met them on the roads that he walked. And he helped each and every one of them that came to him. Oh, friend, if you haven't received Jesus today as your Savior and your Lord, oh, I pray that right now you would say, Father God, I am a sinner. I realize I have not been close to you. God, you created me to love Jesus, and I pray now. I pray now and accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I say I'm born again. You are born again, friend. And I'm getting a new heart. Hallelujah. And a fresh start. Oh, begin to read the Bible. We're in Ruth right now. We're in Galatians. Oh, gorgeous books, beautiful books. Begin to read the Word. If you need a Word Power Bible guide, you can call me after the program here at 1-877-917-7256. God bless you. Know that because He lives, we can face tomorrow and anything that comes. I love you. God bless you. And take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.